Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to be talking about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence has hype everywhere. It has so much potential for our country and for the world as far as bringing everybody up, also bringing a lot of new business to the United States. And with our debt situation and with our job situation, it could be one of those things that could really help. Now, on the other side of the coin, people are thinking it'll take away a lot of jobs, and there's a lot of other dark ideas that people have that AI is going to do. And we're going to dive deep into this topic with Mark Minovich. He is one of the leading experts in the world on AI. He has worked with leaders and countries to put policies together. He was also on the Ethical Council for Artificial Intelligence that he's working to put together. He's on the U.S. Competitiveness Council. But he just wrote an article in Forbes where he's looking at all aspects of AI. And on his Forbes article, he brought forward the top people in the artificial intelligence field who are really looking at deep questions on what's going on with the field and what it means to society. And for example, he has Roman Yampolsky. He's one of the computer scientists who are analyzing unintended consequences of poorly designed AI systems and those with ethical frameworks too dissimilar to human values. So that's one of the things he dove into. Is another one, Murray Shanahan, a senior research scientist at DeepMind, is an expert in artificial consciousness and what that means to the human race. And then he's looking at like Martin Ford, who's diving into the significant unemployment in every sector due to AI and what that means. And is it true? And is it going to be white collar jobs that are more at risk, which this is what this person thinks? Or is it a higher risk for blue collar jobs? It's interesting to hear that people think it's a white collar jobs and the blue collar jobs will be safer in this kind of society. So instead of just giving more details about this article, I think you should go to Forbes and read it yourself. It's really interesting. But I wanted to bring Mark on to discuss all these details and what he's doing. He's very excited about the potential of AI, but he's a realist and he's also looking at the dangers. So let's bring on Mark Minovich now. Hi, Mark. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be back again. Wow, almost a year now.
I know, it's been a while, but I think what you offer is perfect timing because you're pretty much one of the world leaders in artificial intelligence, and you've been doing this for a while now, and everything's starting to come to a head in that industry. Can you, before we go into this more, and please don't be modest, tell us what you do in the artificial intelligence field.
Sarah, thank you. So I do a lot of things, as you know, from the previous conversation. The last conversation we had focused on the United States, U.S. Competitiveness Council. So that's part of my work. But I see myself, Sarah, as this global visionary on artificial intelligence. Almost as a, you know, I'll define it in a way that your viewers maybe haven't heard before, a Renaissance man, an evangelist, a preacher, as somebody that connects the dots in a digital space. That's my mission in life, is to educate public, but also educate decision makers, educate the government, educate international organizations, and at the same time, do something tangible. Act as an investor, which relies upon megatrends that I get from my work at the U.S. Consul, at the United Nations Office of Project Services, UNOPS, at the G20 and the B20. The work that I get when I'm writing articles for Forbes and Entrepreneur and Observer, when I meet entrepreneurs all over the United States and the world, when we invest in companies, especially most interesting ones, this is what I see myself. I see myself as a visionary in this space, getting all the insights and being an entrepreneur investor at the same time, because you got to do macro and you got to do micro. And that's where we are in July 2017, Sarah. But before I go on, I want to give you some figures, Sarah. I think this is it's not about me, but the figures we'll share with the audience will actually give us the background and will give us some views before we go on further with this program. you know, you've probably seen some of the same reports and maybe even taught some of that is at your school. But according to Accenture, and I'll talk about Accenture and McKinsey and PwC, according to Accenture, AI, which we're going to talk about, has the highest yield and highest economic benefit for the United States, increasing annual growth rate, what they're saying, from 2.6% to 4.6% by 2035, translating, Sarah, an additional $8.3 trillion in gross value added, GVA. McKinsey sees it even more. McKinsey sees that this all of this work of knowledge work, this automation, is going to bring $5 to $7 trillion of global capital across across wide ranges of industries. And PwC says the same thing. You know, AI is poised to double economic growth in many of the 12 economies, the largest economies in the world, boost our labor productivity by 20%. According also to the research at Accenture and CBI Insight, which is now really does an amazing job in covering the venture industry and AI specifically, and a lot of the emerging technology companies, is basically saying there's $15 billion already invested in over 2,500 companies since 2012 with some of the leading investors in the world. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a major phenomenon, incredible stuff, 1,500 AI companies around the world now, healthcare, finance, automotive, enterprises, consumer lifestyle, goes on and on and on. All of them have been invested either by early stages or by Series B round or by Series C round. And this is amazing. And now you have the big five and even more, Google, Apple, Salesforce, IBM, and others are just buying up companies all over the world, nearly 140 to 160, some of them are even saying 200 have been acquired since 2011. This is what we're dealing with. Phenomenon is just really
well. Okay, so we have companies that are growing past; they're getting very, very, very powerful. And so we're going to talk about some of that, and we're going to talk about what the good, the bad, and the ugly of what AI is, and getting into some deep stuff of how it can be an amazing force of good and also the scary part of AI and where things are going. But before we get into that more, I want you to talk about what AI is and what it's not and what it is at the moment and where it could be going.
Yeah, Sarah, very good question for the audience. Before we go in and actually defining AI, and I'll be granular, I'll focus on macro stuff, and then I'll define AI and sub-elements of AI for the viewers. Some of them may be more technical than others. But I just want to remind everyone, remember, landline telephones took more than 50 years to be adopted broadly. Mobile technology took only 10 years to become mainstream. Look at what's happening. iPhone and Android smartphones replacing Nokia and BlackBerry almost entirely in a few short years. People used to doubt that Google and Microsoft, that they were worried about book retailers, so-called Amazon, would come and lead the highest growth markets. Now they do. Cloud service. Cloud service is led by Amazon. Second is Microsoft. People used to doubt that Apple, used to fear Amazon. And Amazon Alexa now is literally eating Apple Siri for lunch. For that matter, the taxi industry, as you know, the taxi industry could not have imagined that the Silicon Valley startup called Uber or Lyft would be the greatest threat. And AT&T and Verizon could not have imagined, absolutely could not have imagined. Social media company, we know who they are. Facebook could be a dominant player in mobile telecommunications, acquiring WhatsApp and others. That's the world we're dealing with. It's the world, not a science fiction anymore. It's the world of self-aware robots, autonomous cars, 3D printers, unimaginable. And why this is happening, and I'll get into the AI definition, but why this is happening, because now the explanation lies in so-called technical advancements, continuous acceleration of rate of change. A huge wave of emerging technology, Sarah, is coming straight at us. I mentioned already virtual reality, nanotechnology, 3D printing. It's really unbelievable. Those technologies are integrating with one another, combining a higher value to the emerging impact they already have. And they're continuing to accelerate and accelerate, fundamentally reshaping the products and services industry definitely breaking the categories, breaking the assembly lines, breaking the modules. Entire industries are being redefined. Products are being redefined. Services are being redefined. That's the four. What we're entering is, it's very important to realize, and I'm very passionate about this, we're entering into a revolution. And it's not Bernie Sanders' revolution, but it is a fourth industrial revolution that is bringing us cyber physical systems unseen before, merging physical, digital, and biological in a very, very profound way.
And it's coming at us fast.
It is coming extremely fast. It's very unique. It's very unprecedented. The boundaries of this are very much undefined. But again, remembering, it is the world of cyber physical systems. And now let's get to the definition part. What is artificial intelligence? Many people will define artificial intelligence differently. I think it's simple for the audience to say artificial intelligence is just a group of technologies. There's not one specific technology. It includes a lot of things. It includes machine learning. It includes neural networks. It includes a subset of neural networks called deep learning. But it's fundamentally a foundation of humans telling computers how to act, how to do things in a more intelligent ways. And in the last 10 years, AI systems became more intelligent. They became a combination between machine and human intelligence. It is more, in my definition, it's a science and an engineering of making intelligent machines and computer programs capable of learning and solving problems that typically require a lot of human intelligence. So what are those problems? Those problems are natural language processing, their translation, their visual perception, their pattern recognition, their decision-making complexities. That's what it's all about. But however, what I want to mention to the audience is specifically the people that want to learn machine learning. Deep learning is a branch of machine learning. AI is a big superset. Deep learning is a subset. Machine learning is also a subset. Machine learning is defined, in my opinion, algorithm that learns from examples and experiences rather than relying. When I used to code, and I used to code in the days, C++, C, we used to hard code things. We used to predefine rules. But now it's machines are learning. They're rather than developer telling the program how to distinguish between a cat, an apple, and an orange, the algorithm is feeding data. It's training and learning on its own how to distinguish between apple and orange, one version of a cat versus another cat. Those are the things which we call machine learning. And then another major revolution which is happening right now is the deep learning, which I mentioned is a subset of machine learning. It is ability to do much more intelligent learning. It's designed to do to train significant expertise, and it's very much unsupervised. The humans don't have to supervise as much deep learning as they have to do machine learning. It's supervised by humans. So that's where we are, and I believe we're at the cusp of something very early in the stage of very early and use case discoveries, and a much new innovation will follow in the future. And as you have seen probably this morning, Sarah, the article came out, actually not an article, but a list from Forbes came out.
That's an excellent article, by the way. And I'll have a link up here for people.
Say leadership. It's the new leadership of the world. It's the people who actually are creating new things, new paradigms, new ideas, new techniques, new tools. And they come, by the way, they come from the United States. They come from Israel. They come from the United Kingdom. They come from all over. And they're trying to make a difference in the areas that I mentioned, deep learning, the natural language processing vision, because they believe that we're in the cusp of something very special.
Well, and can you go on to, okay, when you talk about deep learning versus machine learning, you gave some examples of machine learning. Can you give an example of what deep learning is, like something that would be implemented?
Well, you know, deep learning, its ability to predict, I would say Google has a patent, because I think that's valuable. Google and Microsoft have most of the patents, and they have a patent to predict new views. For example, if you're looking from one view and you want to predict a view based on one view, you're predicting based on a number of factors. That's using deep learning. So the same thing Facebook. Facebook, one other example that I give, that Google has a patent to predict labels or predict images using deep learning models. And a lot of the deep learning stuff is basically used in search recommendations, It's being used in forecasting models. It's being used in healthcare diagnostics and other things. So that's what's important about upset of machine learning, and it uses several layers of very advanced neural networks that's something that mimic the human brain. So the algorithms are based, think of algorithms are something when we are thinking in our brain, algorithms are mimicking human brains. And that's what typically what deep learning does. It's ability to train the data in a certain way and mimic the human brain using the neural networks. And that's what deep learning is. What it's also important, you ask the question, what is not artificial intelligence? Or at least we shouldn't think of that. It's not the next robot. Okay, people tend to think of robots, Terminators. No. And that it's really about math. It's about math. It's about number crunching. It's about variables. Maybe it's about predictions. That's what it's about. It's not about chatbots. You see, there's a whole discussion, chatbots. Yes, it's an element of AI, but it's not everything about AI. It's really more of fetching something, information from consumers. So it's not really self-learning. So our typical, standard machine learning, they're not deep learning, okay? That's really, it's not a self-learning algorithm. And that's one of the examples that I would give to you. And by the way, also, there are other couple of things which are on the horizon right now. Vision, it is not a human, it's not like a human, but it's trying to get to see things, car search engine that allows you to upload a picture of your favorite, some of an animal or some sort of, some sort of a picture of a family. Those algorithms would analyze those objects. They create attributes. They create attributes that you could actually buy. You could actually create trust and buy from it. That's the image that you really need to think about from a vision point of view. So that's a task of an AI using deep learning to figure out what does the image really stand for? What is the, and vision is able to help you, whether it's robotics or autonomous vehicles, to detect objects and detect, for example, collision. This is what Tesla is doing in their vehicles. This is what Intel has acquired a Mobileye for, to be able to do collision avoidance and object detection and GPS guidance. But not only vision, I also want to point out that we're really big right now on natural language processing, understanding how we speak as we're talking right now. What does it actually mean when we say certain things? It's not just a chatbot where we're fetching certain information. We got to get the voice into the smartwatches, appliances. We got to do semantic searches and phrases and summarize information. But summarize, what does it actually mean? And that's the work of the natural language processing. And now deeper, the next evolution of technology is going to something called natural language understanding.
Okay, so we have amazing things that we can do with AI, and then we have some scary stuff that could happen. So before we get into some of the more scary stuff, can you talk about, you brought up Tesla, which there's some amazing things. Like we could get a car, the AI has to make decisions on whether to hit somebody or hit a car or who, there's so many, and it can be so much safer, right? We can save so many lives. And medicine, the same way, we can save so many lives. So can you give some examples of just how incredible, how incredible technology is evolving? And then we're going to go into some of the other stuff.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you're alluding to the virtual agents and decision management and biometrics and all of that stuff. And, and I mentioned already vision capabilities. I mentioned already natural language processing, that it's almost on par, not exactly, but on par with human language comprehension. So one of the things that I see, and of course you discussed self-driving cars, that's very popular. It's being discussed now in throughout media. It's being discussed in the press. But, we have to remember there's lots of interesting things coming up. And one of the most phenomenal things that I see on the horizon is something called the reinforcement learning, which is not being talked about. And it's applied to lots of verticals. It's applied to autonomous vehicles. It's applied to games. It's applied to virtual reality, augmented reality. And it's almost behaving like natural intelligence. It's reinforcement of learning, learning being reinforced. And that's all of those algorithms are being set in motion in new drones, new machines, new robots, new systems, new cars. So I think, in my opinion, besides the reinforcement learning, I really think that now it's the world of use cases. Everybody wants to figure out what is the use case what use case is really going to create AI inflection? What does it mean, that use case? And right now, we're seeing lots of deep learning advances in areas of natural language processing, as I mentioned. Look at what's happening in the consumer market with Siri, Alexa, Google photo recognition. It is just not for tech for tech. It's a lot of powerful technology. Value is being created in the healthcare space, for example. You mentioned, okay, what's happening in our society? Healthcare, for example, I just mentioned this in one of the retreats that I had in South of France. Image recognition technology can improve accuracy of cancer diagnosis. Watson is working on this. In agriculture, farmers and seed producers are actually utilizing deep learning to improve crop yields. In pharmaceuticals, deep learning is used to improve drug discovery. In energy today, exploration is being improved and equipment is being increased. In financial services, right now people are following so-called Sentient model. It's a startup company on the West Coast and who is basically automating the hedge fund and asset management industry, completely automating all the decision-making process, black box. Everything is being done by the autonomous deep learning stuff. So, but in financial services, it's much more than that. As I mentioned, costs are being reduced, inputs are being increased with new data sets. And we're in a very early, very early stages of all those use cases. I just mentioned some of them. And I think in the future, we're going to have a wave of innovation and we're going to create winners. And obviously, there are also going to be some losers. But this is what's going to be happening. And I also would say you're probably seeing right now as you are looking at Google, you're seeing all those online search engines. A lot of them are being basically supplemented by artificial intelligence, by some sort of machine learning. Something called recommended engines, Netflix, Amazon, Pandora, they're using so-called, for example, Amazon is using something called Deep Scalable Sparse Tensor Network Engine, or so-called DSS-TNE, Destiny in short, and that's helping to produce product recommendations as we buy. Google is using FaceNet. Facebook is using DeepFace, which they invested for accuracy in photos. This is what we're seeing right now in the space. And also, I want to finally bring to your attention that we're now not only seeing this in the products themselves. We spoke about digitalization of products, and we could go on and on and on about the industry, 3D printing, for example, and other things where soon in the future we could actually manufacture a whole car or house or something like to that, creating a digital product. But also, I would say we're now digitalizing a human body, and I spoke to you about this. This is the whole convergence of digital and physical, digitalization of human body, biological organs that could be repaired or replaced. Our DNA code could be mingled with bionics, could be enabled to do all sorts of biological experiments on us. But even more important, I think and there's a lot less coverage on this for some reason, is digital thinking. Artificial intelligence is able to emulate lots of human thinking. And at some point, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's not there yet. We're not able to emulate consciousness, but there's a choice of biological and digital life. And right now, this is a convergence that we're now seeing in the space. We're seeing the convergence of how we are thinking is being mapped into digital systems. So that's where, Sarah, we're seeing on the marketplace today.
Well, and it's more complicated, right? Once we get into the medical biological part of it, because we're starting to learn that the bacteria in our gut we're a whole ecosystem. So it'll be interesting when we can start having our brain in a computer and vice versa, or at least connected to a computer, how that actually works with the whole ecosystem.
Well, this is something Ray Kurzweil is basically saying, right? In the 30 years, you could connect our brain and we could synchronize like what our device could sync up brain. I think we're not there yet. There's a lot of visionaries thinking about this earlier, deep theory, which I respect. But that's an area called collective intelligence, which is basically trying to collect intelligence from all of us and combine it. And before we get to so-called superhuman intelligence, we've got to get to this collective intelligence. And that's where we are. But I think the people who are in the media are having a field day. They're saying, oh my God, it's going to take over. Robots are going to run the world. Not exactly. Right now, the most of the AI industry is narrow focused. It's narrow meaning applied. It's really applied to something. Healthcare, marketing, financial services, military, it's really applied. It's not general AI is definitely not superhuman intelligence. Also, I will talk about where we are a little bit later in the program, but we're not there yet.
Well, but what do you think about even just with our own intelligence? Because, you know, like where they did studies on mice where they show, you know, a really aggressive mouse versus a mild or a, you know, non-aggressive mouse, they switched the bacteria in their gut and the aggressive mouse turned more docile and the docile mouse turned more aggressive. So we have like more going on with our body than just our brains. And, you know, like our brains are in our spine and we got muscle memory and all this other stuff. So it'll be interesting once we start figuring all this stuff out even more. You know, I mean, we'll have little brains all over the place in our body.
Yeah, I'm certainly, Sarah, interesting point. I'm certainly not an MD. I wouldn't pretend that I am. But I will tell you, I will share a couple of things. I think that what we're painting is this picture of utopian versus Terminator. This is the future, right? And I want to talk about this. This is like you're kind of gearing to the point, oh, will they take over us as humans? Is that possible? Let me share my views. I think general intelligence is a separate issue as part of artificial intelligence, general intelligence. It may disrupt us. It disrupts the media. Everybody seems to be focusing on it, not focusing on narrow AI, which I think is a problem. But I think most of the experts believe that either general AI may take off around 2050, or it may take off at 2100, you know, a long time from now, or never. It all depends. And so general intelligence really has so many different factors. It means completely replicating our human mind, our human decision-making process, our human consciousness. I think that's not easy to do. There's a lot of leading scientists working on it. I mentioned some of them in the list at Forbes, actually, that came out today. I will tell you one thing, that if you look at Google's DeepMind, AlphaGo, it has some elements of general AI because it defeated a major champion. It moves that human has not seen before, and it used some of the areas of general intelligence. But I also want to talk about, can the systems actually replace humans and talk about consciousness? I think that's a very debatable topic. I think that there's, you could say, oh, will we surrender? Will machine do that? We're now speculating into the future. There is a possibility. I think AI systems are going to become certainly human aware. They're going to replicate some characteristics of people. They're not going to replace. They're going to have better perception, maybe better object recognition. And maybe they will be able to, obviously, they'll be able to, computational power is going to grow tremendously. They'll be much more data-driven than the human beings. And now you're seeing in a Singularity University, probably been following that, there's experts that agree that, as I mentioned, maybe by 2050, 2100, this is going to take off. And we will see some biological humans with some digital form or digital intelligence taking us in that direction. I think there is an opportunity to connect the brain and computer, something which in the science called BCI. I think it's a possibility. It's a remote possibility. We have to figure out this whole consciousness thing. But a couple of things that I would like the audience to pick up on. I think there are a couple of interesting technology. One is this technology called Neuralink. That's a company, Neuralink. It's adding AI programmable chips to human brains so people don't, kind of start thinking a little bit like machines, like thinking machines. So this is called embedding AI chips. It's called Neuralink. Now, as you mentioned, I think to me, editing and writing DNA and deleting birth defects and diseases, that's one area also. I think that we're seeing some area. And I also want to mention a company. I mentioned this company at a major conference. It got a lot of attention. A company called Vicarious. Vicarious is an interesting company. It basically says, okay, you don't have to even write any type of algorithms. It will write algorithms for you. The system is smart enough to write algorithms. So it basically creates a lot of different advances, and those advances are providing a lot of additional capabilities that are uploaded to the human brain into the future. And so this is the beginning, what I call autonomous future. And a company called Vicarious is, I would call, on the cusp, not there yet, but on the cusp of the general AI. And it's something for the audience to focus on and maybe to study a little bit more, because I'll get it will get a lot of attention.
Okay, well, let's talk about jobs being automated, because some jobs being, or a lot of jobs being automated could be a good thing from the outcome of it. You know, like a doctor's job could be automated and we could get a lot better healthcare. But where is it a point where we could be automating almost everything? You know, and then what happens as far as what are we going to do?
Sarah, so, you know, this is that's the question. A lot of people ask, you know, everything is going to be automated. People are going to lose their jobs. And, you know, the world is going to be totally different. What are we going to do with all this creativity? What are we going to do with all this spare time that we have? I frankly believe that's not going to happen. Why? I'll tell you a couple of reasons. One is, I believe if you go back to the article in 1965, and I encourage everybody to do that, it was a Newsweek article called Challenge of Automation. In 1965, and they basically said, oh my God, it's automation is coming. It is going to take over the world. In New York City alone, people are going to lose thousands and thousands of jobs. You know, you're asking me what types of jobs were going to be lost. You know what jobs? Elevator operators. They were going to be lost. And we're not going to have those jobs. We're not going to have jobs fixing, you know, some of our appliances or dishwasher or whatever the case was. This was 1965. And they were scared. And then we moved on as a society. We moved on. We created lots of jobs. Automation turned out to be amazing for the United States. You know, we've done so many things with so many gadgets. We've been able to do so many things with services era. We've been able to scale. So there was a big scare. And then another scare came in, Sarah, as you remember, back when internet was being built by people like Vint Cerf and Berners-Lee, and there was a whole scare. How, you know, how are we going to function? What will libraries do? All the research is going to be done, but libraries are still there. We're still doing a lot of research outside of our internet. And so those scares are not necessarily true. But I would tell you one thing. I think that we're going to change. And again, I'm quoting Accenture, because Accenture said, our human labor needs to transform, and they need to mature to the next human capital development. And I agree with that assessment coming from Accenture and from PwC. Especially Americans are very creative, and I think we're now going to see a lot more jobs in the United States, which are going to be, yes, some jobs are going to be lost. And by the way, not only blue-collar jobs, the jobs, but also, you know, executive jobs and jobs in offices. And I mentioned to you, hedge fund jobs, and there's a whole article that came out also, I believe, in Newsweek covering the whole situation on Wall Street. But there are going to be new jobs, and I specifically want to mention those new jobs because it's important, because we could start creating the future. Personalized health and medicine is going to be a big new job, or at least an area which we need to focus. That's going to be creating this whole new personalized approach not custom food supplements, but very personalized approach. And that's going to create lots of new jobs. Health enhancements. We all want to, as you mentioned, we all want to have better life. We want to enhance our health, our body, our mind. So we're going to have all sorts of new clinics, new sort of new technologies, new people that are going to be consulting, advising us on health enhancements. This whole space industry is going to, based on, you know, we may be looking at Mars, we may be looking at other planets. Commercial applications are going to increase for space industry. Significant employment creation. Virtual augmented reality. We now have a lot of virtual augmented reality. Our kids are playing games, you know, in our tablets, iPads. But there's going to be more. There are going to be jobs moving online, virtual reality, and those are going to be multidimensional jobs. Graphic designers, virtual architects, digital jobs. Dream houses are going to be programmed, you know, using virtual augmented reality. Education, you're in education field, instant education, testing, all the testing, new software, new online training are going to be done with instantly using education. And we're going to do this at work much more effectively. And artificial intelligence, by the way, is going to help us with high quality education. So we will, and high quality education will not only be in New York, but in places like Alabama and Louisiana and Arkansas, they will be able to leverage all of this fancy, high-quality education. And I believe we're going to need a lot more trainers in our society. We're going to need people not only to teach about AI, we're going to need people to talk about all this natural language processing to help to talk about the issues that, for example, if people are frustrated and they can't solve a problem using chatbots or robots whatever the case is, they will need trainers. And we'll need people who just simply will do nothing but explain.
Our whole education system is going to be changed, evolved.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, also, I want to mention quality assurance, but a different quality assurance, human ethics compliance. We now need to focus, especially AI is going to be much more prevalent. We now need to have people that are going to be saying, okay, is this AI system in compliance or they're not in compliance? Are they fair or they're not fair? Are they within the norm of human society or they're not within the norm of human society? It's a huge new work that we're creating, that huge new job that we're creating, right? Some people are saying they're sustainers. Some people are saying they're human compliance. But regardless, this is the world. It's a very exciting world. So imagine all those new jobs are going to be created in education, in medicine, in healthcare, in infrastructure spaces, in factories. That's the world where we're seeing right now. And that's the world. I'm so excited about this. And all this negativity that we're going to lose jobs. We'll lose some jobs, but we're going to create some more jobs. Amazing jobs. We just have to educate our people. We can't let Americans down. We can't let a lot of people from globally down. We got to focus on re-educating them, giving them everything that they need so they become successful for the next century.
Well, we got to get serious about it, right? We're not getting serious about it. And that's something that we really need to make a priority of. What are we going to do and how are we going to take advantage of this stuff? But let me talk about the fact, we have to get into this, the fact that we have evil in this world. I don't know a better way to say it, but just people doing bad stuff, right?
I remind of Dr. Evil.
Yeah, Dr. I mean, evil. These people exist. We got wars. I've covered a lot of these issues. And we know that it's been scientifically shown that 21% of our people out of 100 are clinically diagnosed as psychopaths. And they're very, very good at camouflaging and getting into positions of power. How do we deal with that when we have extremely powerful technologies? I mean, this is a place in our society where we really need to get our social institutions up to speed fast.
Very interesting question. There is a dark side. Whatever we call it, evil, it's dark side, and this dark side is not going to go away, and it's a big problem. And right now, as AI is getting more complex, more sophisticated, we're in the cusp, we're in the early stages. But imagine cyber security implications. We spoke about this, Sarah, of what terrorists, bad people, those bad dudes could do with AI. They clearly could do a lot, especially with general purpose AI, hijacking things. That's not healthy. That's not good. That's going to do many bad things. So we gotta get in there, and we gotta make sure there's a potential for any misuse for any system that could be hacked. We gotta get somebody looking at this and focusing on keeping our country, America, safe, keeping world community safe. We gotta put more regulations. We gotta put more cybersecurity restrictions on it. We gotta get our homeland security to understand the AI targets and what the signs of terrorism are. They got to be much more involved with it. We got to make sure that the ability of state actors, and we're talking about now state governments, if they're using some sort of a malware or some sort of a virus infecting or crippling, you know, institutions using AI, that's a bad thing. So we need Congress. We need the White House involved in it. We need to make sure we have decent infrastructure for that. We need to protect our citizens. We need to protect our water supply, our food supply, our electricity, energy. Because remember, in the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned everything is AI, everything from food to water to energy. So we got to protect it. And we cannot allow autonomous weapons that are being used. They could be more dangerous than nuclear weapons, more dangerous than chemical or biological weapons. We just can't. We have to regulate that. They could be easily hidden. They could be developed cheaply with expertise from some rogue scientists from some other parts of the world. And they could do bad things. They could do precision targeted assassinations. You've seen some of the YouTubes. Scary. So we need the White House. We need the United Nations. We need the World Bank to focus on governance, safety, and security. We need to make sure that cybersecurity is on top of the agenda, integrated with artificial intelligence.
But don't
I really believe that that's the key.
It's absolutely critical. But don't you think that we have two parts? We have protecting ourselves from outside nut jobs and protecting humanity at large from nut jobs. But we also have to protect ourselves from getting, you know, these psychopathic type people into positions of power. We have to have a process for saying, okay, if you don't have the mental capacity to do what's good for humanity, then you can't be in this position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sarah. I think we have to do better stuff on governance in general.
We have to evolve.
We got to create a data bank. We got to create a data bank of dangerous people, of people that are working on those solutions that should never get in the scope of government or any form of influence or ability to in our food supply or water supply or anything like that. So we got to make sure that we have some sort of a way to monitor. We have some guidelines in place like we have with FDA and FCC for years. I'm not saying we have to regulate everything, but we got to make sure that there is some level of process regulatory framework in place to do this on parts of our society. Otherwise, this could go wacko. This could go haywire.
Well, because you look at our stock market, in 2008, we almost took down our whole country, right? And we have some other issues that are at that level going on right now. And there were so many criminals in that financial system and hardly anybody went to jail. But now you start talking about, okay, if they start doing things at that level with AI and these super powerful technologies, I mean, it can get really serious. And so I just think we have to evolve.
Well, there's ethics involved. There's also ethics, you know, ethics and privacy. And we've got to make sure we've got to enable not only governance, I spoke about this, but we've got to enable ethics and we've got to enable privacy because we're going to be all exposed. A lot of our information is going to be exposed. What do we do on a 24-hour basis? Imagine iPhone already has all the information of where we are, where we're located, what we're planning, our birthdays, our social security numbers. But imagine the future of AI and all the stuff that I spoke about. That's multiplier 20x, maybe 100x. So we gotta make sure our privacy is taken care of.
Yeah, we got some major stuff to deal with. I mean, our social institutions need to get our act together, and we got to get very serious about evolving as a society. I mean, when you don't have powerful tools like this, the hurt that somebody can do is more isolated. It's more contained. But as you get more and more powerful, now the hurt can be across the entire country, and we're screwed, for lack of a better
Sarah,
word.
And I agree with you, and I mentioned several times in our conversation that impact corporations. It will impact every segment of our economy, every single, you know, I call it needle-moving technology. That's how I call it for the U.S. economy. It's very precise. It's needle-moving. It's going to do amazing wonders. It's going to improve our stagnant productivity. It's going to generate lots of wealth. So our kids will have a better life, Sarah, than we did and create enormous wealth. That's very important. I mentioned a lot of statistics that came from Accenture and from PwC.
Yeah, it's
you know, this one set of statistics.
Yes.
Incredible. And I want to mention another piece of statistic also that's coming from IDC, a very credible source. And this statistic is basically saying that, the fastest growing and the largest category of enterprise is going to be driven by AI, and it's going to impact GDP growth and job market. They're basically saying that this is going to create net 800,000 new jobs in 2020, you know, creating maybe another $1.1 trillion in a new software AI industry. This is what IDC, Salesforce.com is saying. This is really amazing. But one thing that I want the audience to know, especially the corporate executives, you can't just sit there and say, well, it's coming. Let me see what happens. Let me see what analysts are saying. Brace for it, because it's going to ensure that you will be productive and you will have a productive, high-growth, hyperscale business. And you have to make sure that you get up to speed on this technology, especially for chief executive officers, listening to podcasts such as yours, getting involved of all the different types of courses, you know, all sorts of ecosystems. Get involved. Involve yourself with experts. Critically important. And make sure you have a critical HR strategy. Accommodating AI is leading digital part of the digital transformation. Because if you're not going to accommodate AI, you're not going to withstand. You're not going to be the next Amazon. you're not going to, you know, the brick and mortars are dying, Sarah. They're dying. Look at what's happening right now, the retail industry, and look at where Amazon is, you know, because they're using very advanced AI. I mentioned specifically what they're using. And that's what the CEOs have to look at. They have to aggregate their data, and they have to position AI as the leading force in the organization, or they will be seeing a major decline and diminish their business potential and business value. They have to look deeper, and they have to understand AI and digitalization is the way of the future. And by the way, one leader in Europe, Angela Merkel, now there's some issues that I have she hasn't handled correctly, including migration, but she's also handling digitalization in the right way. She put this on the agenda, which I was very proudly involved in, B20 and G20. She put this on the agenda and said, this is clearly one of the major things which are going to transform governments. We have to do better with startups, with ecosystems. We have to create better infrastructure and better regulations. This is what we need from our governments to make sure this is on top of the agenda. And this is what we need from our CEOs. Take this seriously. Make sure, and our government has to do much more work in improving our research on AI. We have to increase public-private partnerships. We have to have much more oversight from leadership of this country. And we have to democratize AI. I spoke a lot about AI. A lot of it is open source. Yes, some of it is being, you know, is being created by Amazon and by Facebook, by Microsoft, but a lot of it is also open source AI. And we got to democratize this AI for the benefit of the people in the United States and the world.
Yeah, and we got to take that seriously. I think the taking it seriously part is what needs to be to occur, because reality is it's coming down the pike. It's coming fast. It's coming down the pike. If you put your head in the sand, it's not going to go away, period. So we need to figure this out. But I agree with you 100% that we need to get, I don't know if it's regulations or what, but I still go back to the psychopathic people being positions of power. We have a lot of corruption. And we can't mess around. We have to take care of it, because we have like aging. The end of aging is coming in a couple decades. We have major things happening in technology that is going to fundamentally change humanity. And we have to evolve as a species so that we're just smarter and that we're more evolved. We're higher consciousness. And I just did a podcast or a radio show. I'm also on satellite and all over the place. Did a video on emotional intelligence. And there's a lot of places
that's
that are
a big topic.
Yeah, there's a lot. We're getting better about, you know, getting better at emotional intelligence and raising humanity upwards. But I've done some really awful ones on Haiti, what we're doing to people in Haiti. We can't have those kinds of things like what we're doing to people in Haiti and what's going on in Syria. We can't have that kind of stuff and then have powerful AI weapons, you know, and technology. I mean, it's not going to work. We got to figure this out. So the leaders need to rise up and say, let's get our act together.
We do have to get our act together. And I also want to say, it's happening right now. You know, people have to understand AI already penetrated many of our leading industries. I'm not sure if people understand companies. For example, we have a lot of unicorns, companies that have had significant amount of investment. This is a space which is deep in my heart. I spend a lot of time analyzing and assessing and investing in companies. Unicorns like Avent, you know, machine learning based credit risk modeling is already involved, is already part of it. If you look at a company like Flatiron, for example, it already uses machine learning to extract information from patients using all the health records. It's already happening right now. Cyclins, right now, an interesting company. Artificial intelligence is being used right now to predict and prevent cyber attacks there. And then you look at companies like BlackRock, for example. They have this Aladdin project. This massive Aladdin project and a lot of the things in asset management, back office financial systems are all using AI. You know, so all, our traditional systems there are being replaced. You know, it's really interesting. You know,
It's exciting.
Exciting.
We could
you
look at a company, things. Go ahead.
You look at a company. I recently looked at Inside Sales, one of the unicorns, by the way. You know, and they're using. They're using predictive analytics to do sales insights. A company like Carbon X, they're using AI to do measurements and mining on personalized healthcare, the stuff we spoke about. So all of the stuff that what my point is, all of the stuff that is we have discussed today with the large companies or unions, it's being done already today at some scale, and it's going to increase, and it's going to upstage us, and it's coming. This big wave of innovation is coming for America, and we got to be able to handle this, and we're going to say, my God, this is fantastic. Let's absorb all of this for the benefit of our humanity, benefit of our citizens and our people.
And do it in a smart way and get our act together from a corruption standpoint so we don't take down humanity in the process, that we rise up.
No. We don't want to take humanity. We want a better humanity. We want to give them new jobs. And by the way, it would be nice, Sarah, if you and I have a little bit, you know, I don't have any time. I work almost literally 24/7 with everything that I do. So it would be nice if we have a little bit of extra time, if some of the routine work, routine, mundane routine work is handled by machines, I would be very happy.
Especially if we, yes, exactly. Okay, so how can people?
My daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, Becky, would be saying, oh my God, Daddy, I have a little bit more time with you. Now we could go to places like Aruba or Cancun, or we could spend more quality time. She would love it.
Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think you're just going to speed up what you're doing? Because I don't know.
I'm just, this is my dream. My American dream. I'm just dreaming. Then I free up my time, because right now I don't have any time.
I understand.
I'm looking at it and seeing what kind of AI could help me to free up my time.
Exactly. Okay, well, how can people learn more about your work? You just published an article in Forbes. You're working with Angela Merkel and all the G20 to put out new regulations for AI. You're doing amazing work. So how can people learn more about you and see what you're doing? And like I said, that Forbes article touches on all these incredible subjects. You are really touching on important subjects. I know you're here in this this episode, you're talking about all the amazing things that can happen with AI, but you're a realist. You're taking all sides of this and doing incredible work.
Sarah, I'm taking the whole picture, because right now you have research doing phenomenal work. You have emerging countries like Slovenia, like Israel, doing phenomenal work in AI. Silicon Valley, of course, you heard me now say, so many new startups, so much innovation, 1,500 startups in the space. Big companies, Phagma, but I'm saying, who's going to cover this from a point of view of looking what our government is doing, what the international organizations, the United Nations, the World Bank, the G20. So I'm taking this global, multidimensional, multi-spectral position in emerging technologies, including AI, in this whole space of digitalization, and I'm discussing it specifically on Twitter. So every day I'm putting out new content, new information on Twitter. If you go on M. Minovich, that's my Twitter handle, M. Minovich, and you could see all the interesting content, as well as also, Sarah, as you mentioned, on Forbes, Entrepreneur Observer publications, you could find me. And also you could go on my webpage as well, markminovich.com. I update this periodically with some interesting content as well. So a number of ways to find me, but I'm trying to really create, capture all this intelligence. So we could someday become superhuman intelligent, but we got to capture all of this, assess, digest, and then also translate a lot of that stuff, that research and early core research is telling us, or entrepreneurs are telling us, to decision makers, policy makers, and analysts throughout the United States and the world.
Well, that's really good. So I will have that information up, and thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you have an amazing day.
Thank you, Sarah. Really a pleasure.
Okay, stick around.